Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Red Hot Comic Book Movie News, shooting up your butthole.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Weekly Planet, where we talk movies, where we talk comics, where we talk... I was going to say game shows. What else do we talk about?
Do we talk about game shows?
No, we never do.
We could. Folks, Wheel of Fortune. Movies, comics, is it still on?
TV shows, that's it.
Yeah. It's a knockout. What was that show about?
Tell us. We know, but we want to know if you know.
Yeah. Is that the one that was like part game show, part stunt show?
Yeah, part kids hitting each other with stuff, whatever.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, yeah.
It was that.
Well, we've covered the mandate of the Weekly Planet, which is to talk about game shows.
Correct. But we do have actually, maybe this is why we've got a guest coming up who was recently on a game show as
was
well
he?
This episode, because we're going to be talking with Dave Lee about all the live action Disney movies that have been coming out as of late, the remakes, I should
that's
say.
Right. Because, folks, the format here has gotten a little bit stale.
And yeah,
you know
we
what,
hate it.
And you know what happens when the format gets a bit stale?
Mm-hmm.
You go down under.
You
this, is
gonna
be this is our first episode down under with Dave Lee down under.
Very true. So that's coming up in a bit. It's our main topic. But before then, and we've got some time codes if you do want to jump around, we're going to talk about Black Widow's social media embargo has broken.
Oh.
A first look at both the Flash and Supergirl suits from The Flash.
Well, surprise, folks, if the Black Widow media embargo has been broken. We haven't seen it yet.
No, we haven't seen it.
Yeah.
Surprise.
That's right.
Some Suicide Squad news, some Spider-Verse stuff, some Mobius stuff, I guess. Some Greenland news. Hells yeah. I'm just going to do a bit more of our E3 wrap-up because we missed the Guardians announcement.
That's
that
true.
Happened after we recorded.
We missed the Nintendo announcement.
That's right. Oh, and there's a big...
Because I'm a Nintendo expert now. I don't know if you know.
I noticed that.
Yeah.
I was going to put this in, but I guess there's. Yeah, I'll just do it now. A Quiet Place is the first movie since the pandemic to hit 100 million at the US box office. Well done, John Krasinski.
He's done it.
You've done it again.
He's done it again.
And also.
Almost like he planned it.
I mean, he would have.
Yeah, no, he did. Yeah.
He definitely did. Yeah, yeah. And also, a new DC controversy, Mason.
Oh, sure is. Boy, we're going to. Wow.
The biggest thing since Batman's dick.
That's right.
And I guess I don't mean that literally, but maybe. I don't know.
All right.
Let's find out.
You didn't introduce us.
Oh, yeah. I'm James, also known as Mr. Sunday. With me as always is my co-host,
I'm
Nick
here.
Mason. We're sometimes on YouTube. We're sometimes here.
That's right.
Sometimes we're in our own homes. Sometimes we swap homes.
Yeah, that's right.
Like a buddy comedy.
Yeah, that's right.
But.
What a week.
What a week.
We also went to the cinema this week for a movie that isn't out yet in America, so we're going to talk about it next week. But I was at the cinema.
Mm-hmm.
And I was at the candy bar. I'm going to treat myself.
That's good.
And an Uber Eats driver came in with his helmet on. He was a scooter guy.
Yeah.
We went in. He picked up a single
scooter
box.
Eats.
He picked up a single box of medium popcorn and he put it in his scooter and he drove off.
What?
And I'm like, whoever that is, they know how to live. Like whoever's ordered
poorly.
This. Yeah. Right? Because I'm like, what? Like I'm sort of fascinated. Like what a fascinating window into that world.
Yeah.
Because like whoever that is, they were like, going to have a movie day at home. Going to order one box of popcorn.
One cinema popcorn.
Not even any drinks, not any choc tops.
But you can get like...
A microwave popcorn.
Yeah, you can make it fresh, which I think is the best way to do it because then you can add your own butter and salt to taste.
Mm.
But then, yeah, like you said, you can get like the microwave packets, which are exactly the same. I was at the cinema the other day, also at the cinema stories, if we're doing them, where they just take out, because I was in the first session in the morning, they just take out like tubs of popcorn which had been pre-popped from the night before and then just dump it back into the machine.
Huh.
Yeah, that's what they do. Claire used to work at a cinema. She's talking about all the
time. I mean, like I love a good cinema popcorn when it's hot and fresh.
Mm.
But the edible life of a box of popcorn, it barely makes it from the candy bar to your seat.
Yeah.
Now imagine it's whizzing through the streets of Melbourne on the back of a cold Melbourne day on the back of a scooter.
Yeah.
It gets to your house and you're like, cardboard.
Well, I hope it was worth it to watch Mark Wahlberg's Infinite.
Same.
Anyway, speaking of movies, Mason. Well, we're for Caravan of Garbage coming up. We are going to be doing the Iron Man movies. We're doing the final Fast and Furious this week. So we did Demon in a Bottle for Big Sandwich.
That's right.
So we do have a bonus.
Classic comic book story.
We do have a subscription service called Big Sandwich where if you sign up, we've got a bunch of bonus podcasts. And we do a book club where we did the classic Iron Man tale, Demon in a Bottle, where he gets drunk briefly. Check it out.
And he gets over it.
And he gets over it. Yeah, he does, he doesn't.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, other writers.
He's a drunk man on his robot roller skates.
Certainly is, isn't he? So what did you think about what do you think the Black Widow social media embargo is?
What do you mean?
What do you think
I think it is?
What do you think it would be?
What does this mean?
Like people come out and they tell you what they think. Not full reviews, just first results.
Oh, okay. You're not saying what explain to the concept of a media embargo.
Can if you want.
No, I don't want to.
Okay.
You're saying what do you think initial results are?
Yeah.
Initial impressions are. Mm. Okay.
Yeah, pretty much. Oh, it's pretty. I would say okay to pretty good.
Okay, great.
Which makes
pretty good.
Me worry a little bit that it's not great
because first impressions usually like, oh my god,
yeah, exactly.
I love this, and it's not just because I got to see it first.
Yeah,
and if I don't say it's good, they'll take away my advanced screening entitlements.
Did we not say something's good or something? Is it because we haven't seen it?
Yeah.
Have we not been saying enough things have been good?
Don't know.
Ah, we're going to say more things are good,
but
Mason.
But are these people in Australia or America?
I don't think any of them are.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
This
is
bullshit.
Right? We've said heaps of good
things. I want to see a movie and say it's okay.
Right? We saw Loki in advance. We said it was okay. They've given us this gift package here.
Yeah, we've got a box that we haven't opened yet.
There's a box here?
There's a box there. There's two boxes.
I mean, maybe we'll open this up and there'll be nothing in there but a note that says, you didn't say enough good things about the things that we make, so you're not coming to Black Widow. Here's an actual Black Widow, the spider. You've been poisoned. We assume that Black Widow spiders are poisonous.
So, that'll be coming out first week of July. So we'll swing back around to talk about it.
That's
like
right.
A Black Widow would.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say I'm super looking forward to it. I'm kind of looking forward to getting it done so we can get to more stuff.
Sure, yeah. Uh-huh.
So we can get to all the other stuff that's coming afterwards, like Eternals and Spider-Man and everything else, you know.
But
you know.
I'm kind of looking forward.
I'd like to be surprised, though.
Yeah, I'd like to be surprised. I imagine this will probably be a passing of the torch from original Black Widow to Florence Pugh Black Widow.
Pew, pew.
But there might be a bigger twist involved, like maybe there's some sort of time switcheroo that prevents the death of the original Black Widow or something. Who knows?
I love a time switcheroo.
But also it doesn't really feel like that kind of movie.
No, a lot of people have said
it doesn't feel like they'd do 2 hours of espionage and they'd be like, oh, by the way, we switched your character for a clone and they've died in space or whatever.
Yeah. And they said, people have said that it's more kind of Winter Soldier-esque.
Good.
Which makes sense also because this movie was supposed to be out more than a year ago.
Yeah.
And it's only now we're getting the time-bending Loki stuff. It would be odd tie-in if they did it that way. Anyway, we also got our first look, Mason, at the suits of both The Flash and Supergirl, just the logos. I don't know if you saw.
Yeah, I did see, yeah.
There was also, this has just come out as we're recording, but the Supergirl suit can be seen from a distance. She's up on wires and she's got like a little bob haircut, but it's brunette, not the blonde Supergirl, which maybe people are upset about.
I bet they are. I bet they are. Not my Supergirl, they'll be saying.
That's what they'll be saying. Yeah. But The Flash is The Flash, it's an update or whatever.
Yeah,
but the Supergirl suit looks a lot like it's the same design as the Man of Steel one.
Yes. Uh-huh.
So I guess that's still in universe somewhere, isn't it?
Yeah. Maybe they'll finally do she was the one in the pod. Or maybe in another universe she was the one in the pod in the Fortress of Solitude. We saw an empty pod in Man of Steel. Who was it?
It could also be that he goes into another dimension and she's the one who came to Earth and not Clark.
Terrific.
So, you know, there's many ways they could do it.
Yeah.
In this movie that they are making, Mason.
Sure are.
They weren't making it for a long time.
Not just a series of logos. Nope, real movie.
They went through 15 directors. They killed every one of them.
Oh, no.
Until Andy Muschietti, I think, is doing it, who did the It movies.
Yeah, but he had a machete.
That's right. He said, I dare you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Come at me.
Machete by name, machete by nature. And also, I've got a machete, he said. And they're like, oh, we've met our match. We normally kill every director.
Yep, that's it.
He's waving that machete like a madman.
By name and nature, like just like you said.
Yeah. Can we call you Tony? No! No!
Are you excited for The Flash?
Yes.
But everything else around The Flash except for The Flash himself?
Yes.
Because the time travel and the dimensions and stuff?
And invariably his villain will be somebody faster than him. He'll have to run really fast.
I hope he can run fast enough.
He can. He will.
He'll have to.
Yeah, he'll have to and he will. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Because otherwise Anthony Machete will get him.
Just wave it about. Suicide Squad 2 has a runtime, James Gunn has confirmed. 2 hours and 12 minutes.
What a reveal.
What a reveal.
I thought that's where you've got to end. It has a runtime. It's all you're getting.
Goes for an amount of time. And he also said it does have a post-credits.
Whoa.
So there you go. Something to look forward to. Sometimes you look on your phone after you see a movie, say, for example, a ninth film in a franchise, and it says, this definitely has a post-credits. And you just go, fuck it, and you just leave anyway.
Whoa.
Maybe that happened to me.
It had a mid-credits.
Did it?
Yeah, I don't know if it had a post-credits because I did leave after the mid-credits.
Okay, cool. Yeah. How was it?
I mean, it blew my mind.
I read it and I went, no, I'm not staying for that.
You know what? Normally we make fun of clickbait websites,
yeah,
such as We Got This Covered on our podcast. We got This Covered covered.
Yeah.
But they got it right.
Mm.
I checked. There was a one from months ago and it was like, the thing's been revealed.
But did they borrow that?
Oh, I don't know.
Also, we got this covered. Just scattershot everything.
That's true.
So they could have said, and this person turns up, and then an article, well, no, it's this person turns up, and then
it was very specific, though.
Okay, fair enough.
But well, I think it's also probably because that movie's been in the can for
a million years.
A million years.
Yeah, it was supposed to be out last year. Mm. Exactly. Did you see there was a title card of Spider-Man, next Spider-Man, and where it hints at the multiverse because there's like a crack or whatever?
Nope, didn't see it.
It's like, that trailer should be coming up in the next couple of weeks, I'd imagine. Probably around Black Widow, maybe a bit before. So look forward to that. But speaking of Spider-Man, comicbook.com spoke to Tyrese Gibson and they said...
Roman from the Fast and Furious movies.
And they said, Morbius, you're in Morbius. You're Michael Morbius' friend or something.
Uh-huh.
Is it in the MCU? And he was like, yes. And then Sony came out and said, no. GameSpot spoke to him and said, confirmed that Morbius is part of Sony Pictures' universe of Marvel characters and not in the MCU. Mm. Because also we've seen in the Morbius trailer.
Sony Pictures universe of Marvel movies.
Yes, that's
Spum. Spum is what we're calling it. We did it, folks. We've finally got a name for it and it's Spum. Get it trending, folks. Hashtag Spum. All caps.
All caps.
Don't forget the all caps.
But in the Morbius trailer.
Spum.
We see the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. And whatever. And then is it also, which hints it's in that universe.
Yes.
But also don't we see Adrian Toomes?
The Vulture, we do, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so I don't, I mean, they're going to merge. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But they're going to merge them all over in a movie.
Honestly, I think maybe we said this at the time, I honestly think they just went Spider-Man.
Mm.
They did a Google image search for Spider-Man. It was the first result. And then they just put it in the movie.
So, I'll be right.
There you go.
We'll find out. When the first, not first,
yeah.
When the second movie in the Spum universe.
No, it's just called Spum.
But, oh, yeah, because it's got universe in it.
Yeah.
You're
right. This isn't an LP gas situation. This isn't an ATM machine situation.
No, you're right, absolutely right.
Spum, get it right, folks. this will get traction if we all get it right. So you say there's big things on the horizon for Spum.
It's coming in.
Yeah.
It's coming in.
Spum's
hot.
Coming at you.
Deadline are reporting. Get ready for this, Mason.
I'm ready.
Thunder Road Pictures is currently in the process of developing a follow-up feature to last year's sci-fi action thriller Greenland, called Greenland Migration. Now, you might think, James, why would you put this joke sequel in? Why would you talk about this movie that you notoriously don't like? You don't like end-of-the-world movies or whatever. I've said
James,
it multiple
I would never say
movies.
That because I know that you do love Greenland.
I do love the movie Greenland, Mason, and I'm happy we're going back to the Greenlandiverse. I just think it's what, you know what's good about it? Have you seen it?
No.
It's focused,
I know it's on Amazon, right?
Yeah, maybe, I don't know. It focuses on like the family specifically. Like that's what works about it. The human characters in it work, and that's why it's a genuinely great movie.
All right.
Yeah. So it must have done well on like VOD or whatever because this came out in the middle of the pandemic.
That's true.
So I'm excited, man. Do you want to know what it's about? Will continue to follow. It will continue to follow the story of the Garrity family who survive a near extinction.
They're not the Greenlands?
No, because they have to go to Greenlands.
Okay, all right.
They survive a near extinction level event when an interstellar comet hits the Earth. who must leave the safety of the Greenland bunker and embark on a perilous journey across the decimated, frozen wasteland of Europe and find a new home.
Was it a meteor last time?
It was a series of meteorites.
So is this another meteor?
No, I think because the world has been hit by meteors, right. And then they have to go out and probably get some cans of soup and whatever. Anyway, sure, it's good. Yeah. Watch it. You should watch it.
Greenland 2, The Search for Cans of Soup.
Yeah.
Nice.
Maybe some Spam.
Ugh.
You take what you can get, mate.
I guess you do.
When you're into Greenland 2, you take what you can get.
You eating that Spam with pineapple in it?
Oh, look, if it was the end of the world, yes.
I wouldn't would. I die?
Yeah, I guess so. Well, I remember,
I'd stand out on the plateau and I'd be like, take me, meteors. I shan't be eating this Spam and pineapple.
But I remember there was a Spam ad. They had
you've made it into a delightful ham and pineapple pizza. I shan't be eating it.
But like,
I've chosen my side.
Do you remember there was a big push for Spam again? When
Spam
we were
spiced
kids.
Ham. I remember.
And so
if you cut it this way, that's 4 quarter-pound burgers.
Exactly. You turn it on the side. You cut it. But like, how is it that bad, Spam? I don't think I've ever had it.
You would have had Spam because if you go to a pizza place,
that's
a lot of
Spam.
The time that ham, like that little pieces of ham on like an Aussie pizza, that's Spam.
Then it's fine.
Yeah, it is fine.
Yeah. But you don't like it.
No, I if it's very, finely done and it's like been crisped up, not bad actually.
Yeah. And you chuck an egg on it and whatever else. Yeah. You're not feeling that.
Anyway, right, this is Spam talk.
Yeah, it is. We'll be back next week.
We've been talked Spam, we've talked Spum. It's a very sputum heavy episode.
Seems that way, doesn't it? Let's do a talk some E3 stuff.
Okay, let's do it.
So Guardians of the Galaxy is revealed at E3.
Yeah.
So it's a single player campaign.
Yep.
It's you only play as Peter Quill.
And you can sort of command the other members of the team. It's Groot, Gamora, and Drax.
It's the movie.
And maybe version. Mantis?
Yeah, maybe, yeah. But it's essentially, what they did in the first Guardians movie.
Yeah.
People are kind of mixed on it.
Interesting.
And fair enough, because it's Square Enix who made that terrible Avengers game.
Oh, yeah.
Which I think at its like core is not a bad game. Mm. Like mechanically it's fine.
Yeah, right.
It's just in a pile of bullshit.
And it's a lot of... Well, see, that's the thing also, because a lot of that game, what I've seen of it, is just sort of you go into an AIM headquarters and it's just a lot of grey blocks.
Yep.
And you fight in the rooms of grey blocks and then you do that again. But this is, again, like I saw some gameplay footage of this. It looks like really interesting environments.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
People are saying, again, how there is that sense that, like, it's the knockoff movie Guardians and whatever. I think the designs are a little bit better than that.
I think they are. I like the fact that Star-Lord has a big sort of graffitied star. He's got a big Star-Lord patch on his back.
Yeah.
Which I think is fun. I think a tweet went round of, like, this is what, like, game designers think a cool guy looks like. But I think
that's what a cool guy thinks. Well, not cool, thanks.
See, exactly. Yeah. I think that Star-Lord in this looks like he's deliberately trying to be a cool guy.
Yeah.
And that's what he thinks a cool guy looks like. And also he's been, not on Earth for decades.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think that's kind of like he looks like a guy who thinks he's cool, and I think that's good.
Yeah.
I like these designs. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think I can understand the hesitancy, and I can understand why people are going, why would you make a Guardians game where you can't play as all the characters? But I also think they fell down big time in the last game by spreading themselves too thin.
Yes.
Like the Hulk feels fine or whatever, but I've played as the shooty characters more because they felt better and it felt like mechanically it was more solid. And if you play as the Hulk, I want to be able to wreck everything. I don't want to come up against a guy with a shield.
And you're bouncing off the shield because he's got shield power.
And
brute force attacks don't work, so you need an energy power.
Exactly.
It's like, no, the Hulk should be able to punch through a guy with a shield.
Yeah.
And I think because if you have only one main playable character, you can tailor all the action around
that.
You can tailor the campaign around it. You bring in all the other characters and go, okay, well, we need some sort of tree-based power. If only we had we can command Groot. Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
You can sort of strategically control all and command all the characters.
And maybe that's something you kind of work on more in later games, but I would rather them just get the shooting right, get the story right. I mean, look, it'll probably be a pretty standard, like, shooting action affair, but, like, a lot of games are very similar and, like, they've got the same base mechanic
as
an Uncharted or whatever, but it's everything around in the set pieces which kind of elevate it. I'm not saying this is going to be good because it could very well just be a...
Is it the exact same development team as the
people who did Deus Ex, I think.
Oh, I like...
Some of the new ones.
Okay, I like some of the Deus Ex
games. I like some of them too.
Yeah.
I played some or none of them, but I played some of them.
Okay.
And that's interesting to me that game was mostly gold, wasn't it? Remember how gold
it's
and everything
quite
was?
Gold, yeah. Mm. And they probably learned their lesson.
They got slapped fucking hard, they should have been.
Yeah. Yeah. And I suspect, like, as you said, perhaps in this game or maybe even future games, there might be an element of, like, you temporarily take control of another character. Like, remember in the Spider-Man game, you were temporarily Mary Jane.
Do a stealth.
You could do a stealth or something.
I didn't
something,
like that, but they did do it.
They did do it, it's true, yeah.
Yeah. But I can't see how playing as, for example, Groot would be that. Not Groot, sorry, as...
Gamora,
The little one, the raccoon. Rocket. Wouldn't be that different from Peter Quill, because, again, it's shooting mechanics and whatever.
Yeah. Everybody can sort of fly if they need to.
It's
for a
fine.
Bit. Yeah.
So, look, honestly, this is, for me, this is best case scenario of what they could put out.
Agreed.
I'm not, again, I don't think it's going to be amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
But considering that it's out in October,
yep.
Basing it around one person, single player campaign, yep. Cut out all the microtransactions, have a very focused story,
yeah.
Then this is what I'm here for.
Also, movie style soundtrack as well.
Yeah, the
80s. It was a big week for Bonnie Tyler because I Need a Hero was in this, it was in
Loki,
and it was in something else as well that I cannot recall.
It was in another thing, yeah.
It was in three things.
What was the third thing? Because we mentioned it last week, and I think, no, because we didn't spoil it, because I couldn't remember where I'd heard it the third time, and then I'm like, oh, that's right, it was in the second episode of Loki. Speaking of, our recaps are going up. That's Collings right. is, he's doing it, isn't he?
He sure is. So killing it.
People seem to like those. Mm. Is there anything else, though, from E3 that you would want to talk about? Because there was also Breath of the Wild 2, which was announced.
Well, as a bona fide expert of Breath of the Wild 1 now, I'm like, I recognize that thing.
How far are you in?
I mean, a number of hours. It's one. Apparently, you can finish Breath of the Wild 1 in an hour if you're really dedicated. But I'm like, I'm mucking about. I'm making little recipes on a cooking pot.
Are you using your big glider?
Yeah, I got the glider. I got the big glider. And
that's
I'm
cool.
Doing some glides.
So it seems to be there's some kind of time travel element to it, and the world's gone bad, and he's got a robot arm. Mm-hmm. Like Majora's Mask. That was the comparison of Majora's Mask, which is the sequel to the one before that.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like the world's bad and whatever.
Yeah.
But and there's also the announcement of another thing I wanted to mention was Metroid Dread.
Oh, which is a sequel to Metroid Fusion, apparently, which came out like...
A million years ago.
15 years ago, maybe, something like that.
Did you ever play any of those Metroid games?
Yeah.
I think I played a bit of Super Metroid, but that's
like Metroid, Super Metroid.
Mm-hmm.
Other Metroids.
Did you ever play any of the first-person shooters? Because people are looking for Metroid Prime information.
Yeah, because there's the fourth or the fifth one is...
I think it's the fourth.
Okay, right.
Because I think a year or a couple of years ago, when they were well into development, they made an announcement. They were just like, it's bad. We're not doing well, so we're going to restart it.
So a fascinating thing about Nintendo is they're operating on their own schedule.
Yep.
I think in one of their announcements this year, they were like, we have other games that are in development, but we don't have anything to show you, so we're just not going to.
Yeah.
They weren't like, well, we've got to knock up something.
Mm.
Like, was it what, like, or we're gonna give this a release date even though it's not finished, like a lot of game developers will do. They're just like, no, we'll give you what.
You can wait.
Yeah, you can wait.
Just fucking wait, all right?
The little Zelda Game & Watch is
coming
out.
Yeah, I'm not interested in that.
No, I'm not super interested, but no. Yeah.
I don't remember. I remember playing those briefly and... Mm-hmm. They're just not for me. They've never been for me, those kind of top-down RPGs where you didn't find the right rock so you can't get into the whatever.
Okay, yeah.
Not interested.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Great dialogue from the old man. Find the right rock. Sorry.
Yeah. I could move aside.
Yeah.
There's this door, but I'm not.
That's what I've been saying with Breath of the Wild. It's one of those games where it's like, I'll just play for 5 minutes and then 2 hours goes by and I'm like, what happened?
I missed work.
Yeah, it's because it's like there's a lot of like okay, well, I went down into a shrine and I solved all the puzzles in the shrine and okay, well, I've done that, so I'll stop. And then it's like, oh, but I got a new power from the shrine, so I'll just test out the power. And then it's like, oh, there's horses. I should learn how to ride a horse.
Yeah.
Oh, you can become friends with dogs. I'll just become a friend to this dog.
That sounds awesome, honestly. Like the fact that it's an open world game where there's always something to do, because often it's just like they'll just pad it out with like traversal and like conversations.
Well, there also seems to be a lot of stuff that they don't explicitly say. Like, the dog show up, you're not like, you don't get a text box that's like, you can become a friend with dogs.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I wonder if I gave this dog some food.
Yeah.
He'd be friends with me. And I did. And he was.
Does he follow you around?
Yeah.
That's cool.
They lead you to treasure.
Oh, that's cool. Mm.
They'll fetch a stick if you throw a stick.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Just quickly on the Metroid thing.
Yes.
There's been so many Metroidvania games since.
Yeah, this one's got to be something special.
It has to be, but also it could be, because it's Nintendo, I think people might just love it anyway. There was rumors also of a Donkey Kong game made by the people who made Odyssey.
Donkey Kong Dread.
Yeah. wouldn't you like a 3D Mario Odyssey style Donkey Kong game? I reckon that'd be incredible.
But don't you think everything 3D Odyssey style has been done by Mario Odyssey?
Yeah, but they I mean, before Mario Odyssey, though,
yeah,
you know, there wasn't a Mario Odyssey.
Now, Odyssey is the one where he has the hat and he throws the hat on people.
It's really good.
So do you think Donkey Kong would have a tie and he chokes some people with a tie and he gets their powers?
That'd be cool.
You see him dragging. He gets the powers of somebody he's dragging along by the neck.
Cranky Kong. Mm. Yeah. Who's the original Donkey Kong?
Oh.
Anyway, yeah, E3 all in all, whatever.
Also, I really like the look of Battlefield 2042.
Oh, yeah.
But it's multiplayer only, so I don't care.
Get fucked then. Get absolutely. I didn't know that. People were talking about that.
There's no single player campaign, but it looks amazing. Like, and again, I feel I'm rarely impressed by anything in one of, like, any Call of Duty, any Battlefield. I'm like, it's just the same thing again.
Mm.
But this one, I'm like, this looks really good. And there's you know, sandstorms and climate situations happening.
Probably zip lines and
wingsuits and whatever. Probably. And I'm like, this actually looks like a great leap in terms of interesting stuff happening in this. And I would love to play this. But then I'm like, no campaign. So,
yeah,
great. I would love to see 2 seconds of this at a time as I go into an online match. I'm immediately headshotted and then I have to start again. Cool. Love it.
Maybe you could do it with bots.
Maybe. I just love to be killed while wingsuiting or while in a tornado.
Look, in 2 years when it comes to PlayStation Plus, mm-hmm. I will click that I will purchase it and then I will never play it.
Great.
That's what I'm going to do.
PlayStation, you've got our money.
You've done it again. Okay, let's talk about the biggest controversy of the week, Mason.
Okay, great.
Folks,
this is not for children.
No.
If you're in the car with your kids, take your hands off the wheel.
Yep.
Cover your kids' ears with your hands.
That's right, yeah.
Get them into a ditch.
No, get them to hold the wheel.
Oh, good call. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. There you go. So this is via Variety interview with Justin Halpern, who is the Harley Quinn, the animated show, the co-creator and executive producer. He said, "I'm working on the project. It's incredibly gratifying and free to be using characters that are considered villains because you have so much more leeway. A perfect example of that is in the third season of Harley, when we had a moment where Batman was going down on Catwoman and DC was like, you can't do that. You absolutely cannot do that. They're like, heroes don't do that."
Wow.
Yeah. So we said, "Are you saying heroes are selfish lovers?" And they were like, "No, it's that we sell consumer toys for heroes. It's hard to sell a toy if Batman is going down on someone."
Wow.
Yeah. I think also if you're going to do it anywhere, that is the show where you would do it. I don't think people would have, don't
let your kids watch that.
Yeah.
If you don't want them to.
I don't think it wouldn't have been controversial either, because there's some insane shit in that show.
I think it wouldn't have been controversial if they hadn't said heroes don't do that.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
wow.
To be fair though,
it explains a lot about.
Yeah.
It explains why the Marvel universe is so cool and fun and quippy and the DC universe is so grim.
Heroes don't do that. Yeah,
heroes do that.
Yeah, exactly.
I think this came to light, I think, this week again. There's a quote from Neil Gaiman, who said that in an issue when he was writing Sandman in the 80s, he wanted to put a masturbation reference in the comic books. Yeah. And DC editorial were like, "Absolutely not, because nobody does that in the DC universe." And he's like, "That explains the DC universe. That explains why everyone's like that. That's what the world would become."
Yeah. So look, I don't know. For me, it's very odd that they would, like, this is the line.
Yes.
Like, you can melt someone's face off and, like, you wouldn't explicitly see it either. Do you know what I mean?
No,
I don't know
true.
If you saw this, but Zack Snyder posted an image
that maybe he got commissioned. Yeah, maybe. It looks very Frank Miller-esque.
Yeah. But arguing for the case, you know, that he would do something like that. Also, like, he'd want to be the best at it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He would be, as with most things in the DC universe, he's the world's greatest detective.
Yep.
He'd be the world's second greatest at that.
To who?
I think Nightwing, probably.
Yeah.
Okay, here's my list.
Or a woman.
Yeah. Okay, Poison Ivy, maybe.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Nightwing.
Yep.
Probably comic book Green Arrow, because his personality is so abrasive that he must have something to compensate, right?
Yeah, sure.
Because why would anybody get in a relationship with that guy?
Yeah.
Probably Plastic Man.
Yeah, fair point. I reckon he'd lean on it like it's a crutch. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay. Be one of those guys like, actually, I'm known for this or whatever because of my abilities.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But he doesn't put the work in.
That's true.
Is what I think.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's but again, like, this is him recounting what DC said to him, as in, heroes don't do that. Yeah. Maybe they didn't say exactly that, but at the same time, the sentiment is there.
It sure
of
is.
Them being like, Batman or whoever wouldn't do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He'd do it. So yeah, there you go.
Yeah, Matches Malone would do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He definitely would. Talk about it with his mates.
Oh, yeah. Hey, fellas. It's me, Matches. Not Batman. I'm not Batman, just to be clear. Guess what I done? Guess what I done, guys? I done it with a lady. It's me, Matches. I'm not Batman, just to be clear.
I'm definitely not.
I'm definitely not Batman.
Good stuff.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable, too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Now, Mason, every now and then we think to ourselves, we don't know anything. We don't know enough. Maybe we should do some more research, or do we bring somebody in who does know things
instead? Competent.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's right. And most weeks we're like, nah.
Let's just wing it. But this week
results
we thought,
have been bad, so
that's right.
This week.
So this week we've actually got a very special guest from a number of projects that you may be familiar with. Dave Lee Down Under of the YouTube channel of the same name, of the podcast of the same name, which I am a patron. Patreon? I'm a patroness. Is that right? The stag from Harry Potter.
Yeah, that thing, yeah.
I'm that thing from Harry Potter. Thank you for joining us.
No problem, thank you.
So for those, you might be familiar with Dave's work because he does the Cartoon Evolutions on YouTube. They're these massively successful breakdowns of popular, I was going to say comic book characters, sometimes comic book characters, sometimes. But you've got a Bugs Bunny. You did a Superman one, which quite frankly should have more views. It's very upsetting. Yeah. It's getting up there now, isn't it?
It's getting there, ticking away.
Yeah, yeah. So the reason we wanted to get you on specifically is because your focus a lot of the time, but not always, is like animation and Disney.
Mm-hmm.
And what Disney have been doing for the last 10 or so years or even longer is convert these old movies into live action to varied success.
Yeah. Convert, that's very clinical. I think it's very appropriate. It's like from beta to Laserdisc or whatever. It's like, we'll just, people in the Disney offices, just we'll just do a standard conversion from animation to live action.
Now, often they're, the reason they do them because it's a billion-dollar industry, right?
Yeah.
Like they more often than not do well, would you say?
Well, essentially, most of them have made close to a billion.
Yeah.
I mean, The worst performing ones have made like $200 million.
Yes.
The middle rung's $500-600 million. So
absolutely.
Most of them are making quite a bit of money.
We take that amount of money, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
In a heartbeat.
Absolutely.
See, the thing is, as well, I think they sometimes get a bit of a bad rap because I think there's some bad ones and we'll talk about them, I feel. But there's some genuinely good stuff in here, I feel, that might even be better than some of the source material that it's based on. Does anybody else feel the same way?
Where are you leaning there? Aladdin?
I did like Aladdin. I'll talk about Aladdin. Yeah. Cinderella, I think, for one. Yeah. I think that's a terrific movie.
That's my favorite.
Yeah.
A lot.
Mm. So, for example, but This thing, though, it didn't start. I mean, sorry, it didn't start in the early No, 2010 was when Tim Burton's Alice in Wonderland kicked off. Mm-hmm. But in the 90s, they tried a few of these. They did a Jungle Book and they did a couple of Dalmatians. Yeah. Are those good?
A couple of Dalmatians. Yeah.
Not particularly. No? I mean, I like the I love the Dalmatian ones as a kid.
Yeah.
And you go back and you watch them and they're just not great.
Are they like, is it too like weird high energy?
It's like totally like late mid to late 2000, like 90s kids film, just high octane, just craziness.
So when people might say like Cruella, have you seen Cruella?
I haven't seen Cruella yet.
How do you say it? Cruella.
You had it right and then you doubted yourself.
I thought about it.
Yep.
Because I've heard some criticism of that being like this isn't a patch on the Glenn Close ones or whatever.
Yeah.
But do you feel that's the case?
I think Emma Stone did really well.
Yeah.
She's incredible in it. It's a very different performance than what Glenn Close does. Close is very eccentric.
Yeah, right.
But you look at Emma Stone's, it is eccentric, but it's not quite to that same level.
Here's a question for you, Dave Lee.
Sure.
When you see that they're releasing a new version of something, what is your initial reaction every time? Or it could be different every time.
Well, do you mean from like just the announcement?
Yeah, when they're like, we're doing a 101 Dalmatians prequel.
Yeah.
Are you like, cannot wait? Are you like, could go either way?
Depends on the project.
Yeah.
Most times I'm excited.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm one who enjoys most of these to varying degrees. Yeah. So I'm one that will champion. I understand why they're doing them because they make money and it's keeping these stories, these classic stories in rotation for a new audience in a new way. The same way, like some of these stories, you know, have been told for thousands of years, like Aladdin or
Spider-Man.
Whatever. Yeah, Spider-Man, yeah, exactly right. And they're just being redone in a new way. So when I hear they're doing a new one, I kind of think, oh, yeah, okay, that'll be interesting. Okay,
right.
Cruella was the only one where I kind of thought, really, we're going back and we're doing 101 Dalmatians again?
Can we just talk about that one now, since it is the latest one?
Sure.
I think it's quite good.
Yeah.
Like, genuinely. Like, it's not brilliant, like, you know, because a lot of people are... No, there are the comparisons also that people make. It's like Disney's Joker.
Yeah,
Better. It's better than that. And it's got some fun, like, fashion montages and some really, like, scenery-chewing performances.
Mm-hmm.
And people, like, kind of point to the clip of the Dalmatians killing Cruella's
mother.
And I think that's intentionally, like, daft. Like, it's not supposed to be a serious...
No. I think if you wanted to cut Todd Phillips to the core... You would go up to him and say, I think that Cruella, the 101 Dalmatians sequel, is a better movie than Joker. That would upset him.
I think it might be.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know? I mean, that being said, I had no expectations for Cruella.
Mm.
And Joker, I was like, this could be interesting. And I thought Joker was all right. Mm. You didn't like it.
I didn't like it. So how far removed, like, is there a limit to how far removed a movie can be as like a prequel to this sort of thing before you'd be like, is this anything? Like, does Cruella feel like you're really stretching it a bit? Or
well, I've always felt the best of these remakes are the ones that have some sort of distance. I mean, there's no point going back and redoing the same thing over and over again. Like you said, carbon copy. The VHS in and make it a DVD,
sort of thing. Yeah.
I think the ones that have worked the best are the ones where they've added a bit of backstory or they've tried to do something new with the story, add some new surprises in there, do something a little bit different.
Yeah,
I mean, we'll talk about it later, but the Lion King, which was just like carbon copy.
Yeah,
Cruella, you do something a little bit different with it. You invent a little bit of a backstory or you kind of tell the story in a different way. I think that's where these things work best.
I think also for me, I can't remember seeing 101 Dalmatians, the original. I might have seen it. So I'm not tied to any of these characters. Whereas the Lion King, like I know the Lion King back to front. I can recite the Lion King. So any changes I notice, but Cruella, I'm kind of like, you can mess around with this. Yeah. Like I don't care. So you got a bit more freedom. Like you change the Lion King and people attack you.
Well, that's what like I said, the best ones for me are the ones that do something different. But I think there was an exception with the Lion King because – for that film in particular, I loved it, even though it was exactly the same.
Mm.
But a film like that, which is so iconic, you can't change it without making it
worse.
What it is. So, you know, you change something, people are going to flip out.
Yeah.
People flip out anyway, even if they do change
things. That's true.
But I feel like something that's so iconic like that, you've got very little leeway in what you can do before it is something completely different.
I remember... We can just jump around. It's fine. It doesn't have to be in order. But I remember when Jon Favreau, because he first did The Jungle Book before The Lion King, and they sat down beforehand and they said, right, what are some, you probably know this, some iconic moments from the Jungle Book that we have to put in. There's the Be Like Me song or whatever. There's a bit on the river. There's this hypnotized snake.
Yeah.
And there was like a handful of things that you kind of, you remember. But with The Lion King, it's literally every scene, every song, you know? So you kind of, you got to adhere to that.
The thing, I think the thing with Jungle Book particularly is when they did the original animation, Walt didn't like the original text, the Kipling novel.
Oh, right, okay.
And he sent his animators off to kind of, you know, workshop a film, and it came back. He was like, it's too dark. Like, what are you doing? I want songs. I want you know, happiness and stuff. Go away and just do it again. And animators weren't happy with it. So what they did with the live action one is really went back to, I guess, the core of that original novel and did it that way. And, yeah, I think it's just like kind of an amalgamation of both, things.
Yeah. Well, let's take it back. Let's take it back to the year 2010, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
Tim Burton's Alice in Wonderland, follow up by the sequel, Alice Through the Looking Glass, which might be a time travel prequel. I haven't seen these.
Yeah.
What are these like?
I've watched it twice, and I'm pretty sure I fell asleep both times.
Yeah.
And I don't often fall asleep.
Through both versions? The sequel and the original?
I've only watched the sequel once.
Yeah. Because that's notoriously not good,
it's
right?
It's not great.
People do not like that one.
But the first one, I the first time I watched it, definitely fell asleep.
Yeah.
And the second time, I think I fell asleep again. It's not great.
Yeah.
I mean, I like Tim Burton, but some of his stuff I'm not huge on. And I feel like he was not the right person to tackle Alice in Wonderland, which is, again, it's something that is so iconically vibrant and bright, and particularly if you think of the original animation, it's one of the most vibrant films they made.
Yeah,
the colors, and you know, the scene where Alice is in the, you know, the poppy fields and all multicolored poppies and stuff.
But the trend is make it grittier.
Make it grittier.
So make this children's property grittier.
So is that like got a dark kind of like Edward Scissorhands kind of current?
Yeah.
So you've seen it?
And I bloody walked out, and I was on a plane. No, I have seen the first one. I've seen the first one. And I think I went because I'm like, well, I like Tim Burton for the most part. But yeah,
do you?
Not great.
I don't know. I like Batman.
I'm the same. I'm like, oh, yeah, Batman, Beetlejuice. And then you go, Willy Wonka.
It's only the one thing that he does. When I think of Burton, Alice in Wonderland remake, I do think dark and
I just think of that claustrophobic, like behind the scenes footage of Helena Bonham Carter in front of a green screen.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's the side by side where she's got a giant head in the movie. Is that right?
It's weird. It is weird. I think it's one thing that I usually forget is it's supposed to be a sequel to the animation.
Oh, that's right, because she goes back.
She goes back.
She's an adult now, whatever. Oh, yeah. Some of these are prequels. They're right.
Confused. Well, it's funny because every time I review one of these things and I'm like, oh, the remake, and someone's like, oh, you get heaps of comments, which is like, it's not a remake, it's a sequel.
We've never received a single comment breaking anything we've ever done. So
we're going to get a lot relate. Of The Lion King isn't technically live action, etc. We know that.
Absolutely.
So, look, I will never watch those. And I honestly was surprised when they announced the second one because it's not well regarded. Again, I haven't seen it. What would I know? Yeah. But why would they? And it bombed, right? The second one bombed?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It did like, I don't know, maybe 400, maybe 300 million or something. Didn't do very much.
Sad.
But the first one was close to, it was over $1 billion.
Yeah.
So that's why they went back and did another one. That's the film that kickstarted all of it.
Well, that's exactly it. And I think off the back of Dark and Gritty is why they then made Maleficent.
Yeah.
Which is a prequel to Sleeping Beauty, not a remake, or it is a remake.
Sort of.
Because you do get bits of Sleeping Beauty
in
it. And then the sequel, Mistress of Evil. Yeah. I've only seen the first one. I can't say, I think like visually it's very interesting, and I love the Angelina Jolie design and the cheekbones.
You love
and
the design of Angelina Jolie.
Yeah, I think as a human being.
Am I right, fellas? Fellas.
I think she plays it very well, but I don't remember loving it, and I didn't really buy into the whole she's not evil thing as much. But you know, I guess it's a fair shot. I guess
I mean the fascinating thing to me is there might be more than those two examples, but of Cruella and Maleficent to be like, you know, the villain in the last thing. Well, they're at. I mean, they skin dogs. They want to skin dogs, but they're good actually, right?
Yeah, and so what did you think about those ones?
The first one I really loved when it first came out. The more I've revisited it, I've kind of enjoyed it less and less each time. I don't quite know why. I love Angelina Jolie's portrayal of Maleficent.
Yeah.
I love the original Sleeping Beauty. It's one of my favorite of the animated films. Just so visually stunning.
Mm.
And it is one that goes in, it changes a few things. So yeah. I like it for that. But there's just something that hasn't held up with it. Maybe it is because it is just so dark and grimy. And
she's a woodland fairy monster or something.
Yeah.
And she gets her wings cut off. And that's a really traumatic.
Yeah.
So it's like this abuse that they just put on. Like it's clearly like an allegory for like something much darker.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's just, yeah, I know. Well, the second one didn't do as well though, did it?
Again, that was one that did probably 400 or something.
I feel like though that was probably a way to get Angelina Jolie to sign on for like the Eternals or something like that.
I think she pushed for it. So I think that's probably maybe, I don't know, but I'm sure she pushed for the second one.
Just be like, we'll give you this if you show up in Eternals and swing a magic sword for a few minutes. Yeah, but I can't say, I can't say I'm a fan, but that brings us up to 2015's Cinderella, which Kenneth Branagh directed, director of First Thor.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's genuinely, really enchanting and fun. And
I haven't seen it, so it's enchanting and fun is what you're saying.
And it's got Helena Bonham Carter. Yeah.
And is there a reason, do you feel like it's a necessary remake or a live?
I do, and it's also, I think they recreate the fairy tale world and kingdom. It's not dark and gritty, it's just like, what if a Disney castle was real and all these, and you know, like these were real people walking around in their bright, shiny outfits and shoes and whatever. You know, I think it's like a genuinely kind of magical feeling movie. Mm. And you feel the same?
I agree. I think getting Kenneth Branagh to do it, I mean, he brings, obviously he's very well known for his Shakespearean work.
Yeah.
But that's his performance or his directing. And he brings this real kind of Shakespearean feel to it. And I think doing that, and likewise what he did with Thor, with that very Shakespearean kind of epic sort of mystical feeling to it, I think it was just perfect. I love it. I think it's a fantastic film. Yeah. And Lily James is just terrific in it.
Absolutely. And it's interesting because
Is she going to be Pamela Anderson?
Yes.
Okay, that's Sebastian, how I recognize that. Yeah.
Uh-huh. It's interesting because around these times...
Fellas, you like that design, fellas?
But like, because remember, during all this, they did like Snow White and the Huntsman, and Lily Collins did a what was that one that she did with?
She recreated the famous gorilla on the drum set. That's what she did.
Her father did.
Her father did.
What's the one with Erin Brockovich? What's her name? My God!
Mirror, Mirror.
That one.
Sandra Bullock.
So like, they seem to be doing a lot of these knockoff. Not Sandra Bullock.
Nicole Kidman.
No. Julia Roberts.
Oh, Julia Roberts.
There we go.
Roberts, geez.
We'll just get emails. I just have to mention it. But but there seemed to be, while these movies were being made, they were trying like knockoff variations and all of them from other big studios at the same time. Mm-hmm. Even like Andy Serkis released The Jungle Book soon after Jungle Book.
Is that outside of copyright, The Jungle Book?
No, it's one of those books that's gone into, public domain because it's a certain amount of years old. That Disney has this very funny thing where if they find out someone is touching one of their properties, even if it's legal, they want to try and get in and get in on it. The original Jungle Book from the 90s was an independent film.
That wasn't a Disney movie.
That wasn't Disney, but Disney jumped in on it. They found out this was being made. It was huge, like massive budgeted film, and Disney were like, we'll give you more money if you let us release it. So they then released that as, this is our first live-action remake ever.
Really?
With the new version, they found out Warner Brothers and Andy Serkis were doing this new one, which was at the time called The Jungle Book. And they went, they're stepping in on what we're doing. Let's make one and get it out there first.
Right.
So they essentially got in there, they made it, and Warner Brothers going, fuck, we can't release this now, so close to the Disney one. And that's why they sat on it for so long. They sat on it for like 3 years until they're like, fuck, just give it to Netflix. Rename it Mowgli.
Mowgli, yeah.
And then Netflix had it.
I think it's better. Mowgli. Yeah.
I mean, I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah,
I haven't
watched
that one.
There is this thing where, and this is my problem, the same with The Lion King, with The Jungle Book, the animals are just straight animals, so that you can't, there's not a lot of emotion in them. And, you know, they do, like, again, they do Baloo does his song and whatever, and King Louie's a terrifying orangutan. But the Andy Serkis one, they have kind of human-ish faces and eyes, which sometimes work and sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah.
But I think it's, and it's way darker. Like one of his little friends gets decapitated. Right. Like you see, it's like he finds he's like a little dog or something. He finds his head on a stick and like
dead
a belly.
Dog,
it's not like it's very dark. And it's, I think what Disney are allowed to do with theirs is like nobody can do Disney's Jungle Book live action.
Yeah,
but they can do. because Disney obviously own that, but they can do the book version.
Yeah.
Same with Cinderella or whatever.
All those fairy tales and stuff.
Yeah. I think it's fine.
Yeah.
I think the animal thing hurts it, though. I think it's an amazing movie.
Should have just been regular people. Just regular men. Just regular men in the jungle.
Yeah, just he's sitting on top of Bill Murray's stomach floating floating down the river. But I don't know, it just felt like...
Hey, it's me, Baloo. I'm a man who lives in the jungle. You want to hang out? No.
But I don't know. I mean, does anyone else have any strong feelings either way about this movie? Or
I loved it when I first saw it. And it's one that hasn't held up very well.
Yeah. Do you think it's part of it is that I think it lacks kind of life and bounce that you'd get in a cartoon?
Yeah.
There's some moments where he does, like I said, where he meets King Louie and he's like this...
Like
this 12-foot tall orangutan. Right. And that's a pretty spooky scene. But and it's Christopher Walken and he kind of talks his way through the song and kind of shuffles through it. And I'm with, because being Christopher Walken, I'm like, oh, this is going to be fun because he can sing and dance and all that. But it's just kind of
weird.
Yeah. Mm. I feel like it's a tech demo more than a movie.
Well, it's exactly what it is. That and The Jungle Book as well. Jon Favreau just kind of playing around and trying to, so many technologies were kind of, you know, developed or refined for it. But I think this is like, it goes back to Walt Disney and this is why he didn't want to make it so dark in the first place because he knew what worked for this kind of family entertainment. And you take it too dark and you try and, you know, push it in that direction, it just doesn't work.
Yeah, absolutely. So no interest in seeing that one?
Nope.
Yeah. It's probably on Disney Plus, Mason.
Oh.
You can see
I'll
it right now.
Change your mind then. Yeah. There we go.
Here's one that I literally watched yesterday. And it's technically not a live-action remake because the first one is also live-action except for The Dragon.
Mm.
But Pete's Dragon got a remake from the director who's doing The Green Knight. It's coming out soon, which I'm looking forward to and maybe others. I barely remember Pete's Dragon. I remember it's a weird horrible mud village and a dragon shows up and
is
nobody
Mike
believes.
Is Mike Myers in Pete's Dragon or am I thinking?
I think so. I think it's from the 70s, is it? Or the early 80s?
70s.
I don't remember liking
it. I'm thinking of Pete's Meteor.
Okay. I don't remember loving it and it was that weird blend, but this isn't entirely, I don't know whether it's based on the book or anything.
I don't think so. I think it was
It's basically the Iron Giant or E.T. except with a big dog dragon.
Yeah, right.
And it's quite good, I thought. It's pretty like low-key and, you know, just kind of quietly charming and Robert Redford's in it.
Yes, that's right.
It's just like, it's Bryce Dallas Howard and whatever. It's and that weird beard guy from The Hunger Games.
Yeah.
Whatever his
Wes
name
Bentley.
Is. Yeah. It's just like Carl Urban's in it.
Oh,
there you go.
All right.
Huge cast.
Is it on Disney Plus right now?
It is on Disney Plus right now. Like,
hello.
Because in preparation for this show, I'm like, oh, which of these should I watch that I haven't seen? Oh, I don't really want to watch Tim Burton's Alice in Wonderland. Yeah, Pete's Dragon, there we go.
Good choice.
But Dave, were you over the moon when Disney Plus became a thing? And it was just like, it's everything. It's everything.
A physical medium.
I've got all the animated films on Blu-ray. Yeah. I've got most of the live, whatever they've released. So for me, I wasn't excited that, I can finally get them all because I've just spent however much money over the last few decades. Yes, I can now have it for $8 a month.
You were like, I'll finally track down the copy of this thing. my final one, I've done it. It took me years to get this one. And you put it down, you're like, it's on Disney Plus.
Yeah, exactly right. The thing I was excited about is the original programming. And I think some of Walt's earlier live action stuff never made it to like Blu-ray or DVD or whatever.
Right.
So that's been a way for me to go back and actually see some of that stuff.
What kind of stuff is that? Like, what are you talking
like
about?
He worked on so many live action films, like in the 60s, up until his death, obviously. There's a huge period of time there where he's not only doing animation, but he's doing live action films, he's doing television. And a lot of that stuff just never made it to Blu-ray. Stuff like. The Ugly Dachshund or Flubber or Flubber, Absent Minded Professor, stuff like that. All those really young Kurt Russell films when Kurt Russell was a teenager, just really crazy, wacky family films.
Because
is that Kurt Russell thing true? You're a Disney guy.
What's that?
The last thing Disney wrote was Kurt Russell, the name Kurt Russell.
Yeah.
It's like Kurt Russell is coming to kill me, but he didn't get to.
Yeah. Well, they had found his on Walt's desk after he passed away, they'd found a note that had Kurt Russell written on it.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah.
That's so bizarre.
Yeah.
Imagine being Kurt Russell. Isn't it so cool, though, that Kurt Russell transitioned? He was basically Zac Efron.
Yeah.
And the way that Zac Efron is now he's doing different stuff, but he was this child actor, and then he did, like, Escape from New York and the thing.
Now he's Mr. Nobody in Fast and Furious movies.
That's right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I just think that's really fascinating. But no, look, also I just want to quickly mention as well, my son and I, we watched Pete's Dragon together and he loved it. I like the design of the dragon. They redesign it completely where it's just like, it's like a green dog.
Yeah.
And it's pretty fun.
Also, the benefit of physical media would be that you don't have you have the versions that, you know, were originally intended as or at least as the last time the Blu-ray was released or what have you, as opposed to the Disney Censored Plus one,
version,
where they're like, we should change many things here for no reason. You know?
What do you think they should do with movies like Song of the South and stuff like that?
I think it's important to have them out there. Mm. I think it's a discussion point.
Yeah.
Song of the South is not a good movie, really. I mean, not even if we take away the controversy, it's not a great film.
Yeah.
It's not that good. But I think it's an important thing to have out there, whether it is like Gone with the Wind or something like that, or The Jazz Singer with Al Jolson. Mm. It's a conversation piece.
Yeah.
And you have to view it through the lens of the time and kind of maybe use it as a piece to dissect and, you know, this is what it was like, and put a disclaimer at the beginning.
It's weird when people complain to me about that disclaimer because they're not censoring it.
Yeah.
They're just saying, hey, there's some, maybe these crows are like weird and problematic. And at the time it was maybe like very forward thinking, but now in hindsight, not as much. I really don't see the problem with that. Like a lot of the stuff is still out there. People are like, I can't believe they're canceling Gone with the Wind. They're not.
Mm.
You can get it.
Yeah.
Like you can hire it. You can buy it. All it's not gone. Also, fucking try and sit through Gone with the Wind. Yeah.
they're not cancelling it because they could sell it to you.
Exactly.
Why would they cancel it if they're going to buy one?
Here's one that's controversial, some people say. People go either way on this. 2017, it's a billion-dollar movie in Beauty and the Beast. Mm. I'm not a huge fan of the original. Not that I don't like it. Like, I didn't really watch it as a kid like I did with The Lion King. So when it came out, I went, that was all right.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people do not like this version. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. People hate it.
Yeah.
But mostly because of Emma Watson. I don't get it.
I thought the Beast design was awful. That's one thing that I didn't like about it. Yeah.
I love it. Mm. I'm a huge fan of the original Beauty and the Beast. That's one that I grew up with. And just a film I love. I love the music and just the characters and everything. The story is fantastic. I'm like a huge fan of that gothic horror kind of thing where it's like, someone falls in love with a monster or, you know, Dracula, all those kind of things.
Yeah.
So I love that story. And I love the remake. I thought it was a really, the way they did it, I thought, again, they add like little side stories and stuff and some of the animation's not great or whatever, but I think they did a really good job with it. Again, like Kenneth Branagh did with Cinderella, just that whole magical visual design. I love it.
It was all right.
It's great,
They also they explain like why nobody knows the castle or the prince or any of that. They fill in some plot holes, Mason, which I know you love.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah, look, I can't say that I hated it. I was like, yeah, it's fine or whatever, and I'm very excited for the Gaston prequel Disney Plus series they're making.
That's weird.
So
that's one where I've thought, that's a bit weird.
Yeah.
Going to explain how he got his pecs.
Yeah.
Eggs. Oh. Eggs, Mason. No, he was eating too many eggs or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's a weird choice, don't you think? Him and, is it LeFou?
Yeah, LeFou, yeah.
Have they kind of become friends or whatever?
It's going to be interesting. I don't know what they're going to do with that.
Yeah. Anyway, whatever. It's not my money.
Exactly.
Give a shit.
It is $8 a month, mate.
That's true. What about this one, though? In 2018, this is a sequel, and I know you love the originals of these, or some of them at least. The Winnie the Pooh movies and TV show, Christopher Robin, where it's what if Christopher Robin was depressed?
Yeah.
Andy was Ewan McGregor.
Yeah.
And then Winnie the Pooh shows up and he's like, I got to work at a bank and there's a talking bear or whatever.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
It's charming, isn't it?
It's good. It's nice.
Yeah.
I think it's one of the ones that, again, you go, why are you doing this for? This is going to, this can't turn out well. It was really surprising in the way they did it. And I think it's because they took that different angle where you set it in the future. He got this down and out of his like Christopher Robin.
He's got a laser gun.
He might be a bit schizophrenic, maybe. Who knows? There's all these kind of elements. I think it worked really well. It's just beautiful, charming film just about growing up.
Yeah.
And I think it geared itself more towards an adult audience too, other than a child audience. So it really had something.
You had to have known those movies, you think? Or?
Well, maybe a bit of that.
Do kids still watch a Winnie the Pooh? Would you show your kids Winnie the Pooh?
Wasn't like the Tigger movies one of the best, or some of those movies are some of the best?
People love like the Tigger Disney movie and the Piglet, because they did a lot of well, the thing with Winnie the Pooh is they really dug themselves a hole and turned it into a toddler brand.
So
a lot of people, that's why I think Christopher Robin didn't perform very well, is because Winnie the Pooh is the toddler brand of Disney. Because they did all these TV shows and the straight to DVD films and stuff like that.
And then you're taking your 3-year old to Christopher Robin.
Yeah.
Like, what is aging? What is, oh no.
Yeah, exactly.
I liked the cartoon, like there was the Disney series as a kid. It was quite a nice, like, little fun adventure. Maybe this was also hurt by Paddington.
Yeah,
potentially. Perhaps. And I think some of the designs got criticized because he kind of looks like a shitty bear.
Yeah.
But that's what he initially, like, if you look at the original books.
Yeah. He's all rumpled.
Yeah. They're very odd, those original books.
Yes, they are. Yeah.
They've deviated wildly, immediately from what they started doing. Yeah. But he's just kind of crooked eyes. And
But even if you look at the original bear, like the actual bear, it's very much like it was in the film.
Yeah.
Just old and tattered. And because obviously the author wrote the stories about his child, Christopher Robin, and he had a series of toys, which were the bear, the tiger, and all the pig and whatever else.
Yeah.
So if you look at the original pictures of the original dolls, it's very much like what it was in Christopher Robin.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense. Well, here's a question, though, about this universe.
Sure.
Christopher Robin cinematic universe.
All these movies and shows are, like, technically set inside Christopher Robin's imagination, right? But the live action movie, they're real? Is that right?
I think it's always been ambiguous.
So the movie doesn't answer that question.
Not
it's like,
really.
No, the bear's real. It's got
not
guts.
From memory. I only watched it once when it first came out. But I've actually maybe seen it a couple of times. But I don't really remember whether they left it open ended.
Because his kids
or,
see it, don't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, I think so.
Or are they just going along with it because they're kids or
maybe. Who knows?
Maybe he told the story to a young Walt Disney who then, in that universe, who then took the idea and was like. Yeah, you haven't written this down, so I'm taking it.
Yeah. That was actually Mark Foster directed that. He did Quantum of Solace, among other things.
Oh, that's
interesting. 2019. So this was a huge year for Disney remakes sequels because Dumbo it's the original Dumbo and then it's more Dumbo, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's Tim
Burton.
That's
right. Yeah.
And I haven't seen it because I didn't want to.
No.
But
it's okay. It's actually not bad.
There we go.
Considering Tim Burton's there. The original film's really dark.
Yeah.
Like if you go back and you see that, it's
we did rewatch it. I remember that.
You hadn't watched it and you
didn't like it.
Yeah. So I think Tim Burton in this instance was actually a decent choice for it. And what they did, you're right, they took that the original film's like 70 minutes long.
Mm.
The first like hour of the movie of the remake is the original film. And then they go off in this tangent and make up like it's essentially like the first film plus a sequel tacked on.
Yeah.
I think they did it quite well.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's something to it.
Yeah.
Speaking of elephants and stuff, I really enjoyed.
Here we go. This is going to be a good segue. Here we go.
The one and only Ivan, I thought. Yeah. I mean, it's not Dumbo. There's just some animals in it. Like, but it's about a circus.
Yeah.
But I another one I watched with my son, and it's about animals trying to escape this 80s mall that they're trapped in. And it's quite delightful.
Yeah,
Bryan Cranston's in it.
Yeah.
So for me, I don't really want to watch Dumbo, but I guess if you want a movie that I think might be better than the movie Dumbo, a movie I haven't seen.
If your kids are obsessed with elephants.
One and only Ivan. We had that same year, I guess we should talk about this one briefly, but Lady and the Tramp was a big one of the big marquee titles to kick off Disney Plus.
Yeah.
And I just never watched it.
I have no memory of that.
Justin Theroux was.
That's right.
And it was Tessa Thompson.
Tessa Thompson,
What's that one like?
It's okay. It's not bad.
All of these are okay.
Yeah, some of them are okay. I was not expecting, but this is another one where I was like, what are you going to do with this?
Yeah.
But it's not bad. It's charming. It's obviously lower budget than some of the other ones. Mm-hmm. They use real dogs instead
But I think I would like that.
I think it worked really well. They had the CGI on the faces to make them a bit more expressive, and I think people were more receptive to that than like what they did with the Jungle Book and the Lion King.
All right.
It was okay.
It's good to hear.
Yeah.
And then of course we got the Lion King, which we have talked about, which. Again, I had a problem with the expression of the animals. I thought James Earl Jones seemed tired.
Yeah.
And, like, I get why you'd keep him because it's an amazing performance in the first one, but I think if you're recasting everybody, maybe you give it Jack Black.
Yeah.
But there was one. Flippity-doo! There was one moment where They do the lion sleeps tonight, and all the animals in the jungle start kind of bopping along to it. And that was the one moment in that movie where I went, oh, like I kind of like perked up and went, this is new, this is interesting. And then it kind of just goes back to like, let's just do the Lion King again. And I just couldn't, again, as a tech demo, and I think we said this at the time, it might be the best looking movie ever made.
Oh yeah.
Like it's, it's
incredible.
Like it's all digital. Yeah. I think there's one shot that's not, is that right?
Maybe the very first shot of the sun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But just like pointless to me. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I can also see like how, if you haven't seen The Lion King, you know, I think my son, has my son seen it? I can't remember. I might have taken him to it and I think he liked it or I didn't. I can't remember. But yeah, I don't know. But Aladdin, for some reason, I did like. Like a lot for some reason. Guy Ritchie's Aladdin.
Yeah, that's right.
World.
Yeah.
I think that deviated a lot in a good way. Usually. I think the idea of Will Smith coming in and just not doing Robin Williams was smart.
Yeah.
And it was a bit wonky at times.
And they could have got Jack Black.
They couldn't. But I was going into that. I could have. Like going into that, I was like, I'm going to hate this.
Yeah.
And it was, I think it's fun.
Right.
Yeah. Anyone else?
I remember.
Uh-oh. Here's what we brought you on for,
I will die on this hill.
Yeah.
It's okay. No, it's all right. No, it's fun. It's charming. It's from memory, there was something about it that just missed the mark for me. I think it felt really like theatrical, like almost like it was too much like a stage play for my liking.
Go ahead.
No, you're right. You go.
I was going to say, it fascinated me that they put in extra songs. Like they risked extra songs.
Yeah.
Which maybe were not as strong.
I felt like
the princess has a song about, like, you're not going to tell me what to do.
That's what I didn't like about it. I sound so hypocritical because I'm saying you add stuff and it's great. But I think
sometimes
Aladdin,
it works and sometimes it doesn't, you know?
I feel like the extra songs, the original movie is so tight, it's jam packed, it's. You know, the narrative goes really quickly and it's great. You start adding stuff and it's almost like you're just padding it out just a little bit too much.
Yeah.
Because essentially it is one of those shot-for-shot remakes and then they just add little bits of it. It just feels like you're just making something that was perfect, just a little bit less perfect.
And that, I think, would throw people off as well if you go through, you know, 40 minutes of the movie and it's exactly the same as the previous one. And I'm like, oh, I'm getting in the groove of this live thing. And then they're like, there's more songs? Oh, I don't know.
Yeah. That's fair.
But I had fun with that one.
Yeah, but Will Smith was good. Yeah. Will Smith was fantastic. The best part about that.
I thought it was, we'll talk about him in a minute, actually, because I got some future stuff. But then in 2020, we had Mulan. And I think we might disagree on this one as well. Because I thought, even though they took out the dragon, which I thought was a good thing, controversial, I know.
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty kind of like, I don't know, like I wanted it to be this big kind of sweeping epic. And like all the controversies aside, which is that's a big sweeping generalization. Sure, like, all those human rights atrocities that you push aside. But it just didn't quite like reach that for me. But there were some pretty spectacular banners waving about.
Sure.
I think there's some, you know, good casting in that. But I really liked that first Mulan, except for the dragon.
Yeah.
And I just didn't think this got there.
This could have been a perfect movie for you then.
I liked it. I thought it was all the action scenes and stuff fantastic, the choreography and all that. It's really beautiful. I'm not one that's huge on the original Mulan. I think I just kind of just missed it when I was younger. I mean, I watched it, but it was one that I never really returned to.
That's interesting because I came to that late, like as an adult, probably like in the last 5 years. Mm-hmm. And I was like, because, you know, I was a bit older then. I'm like, I don't fucking watch these.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, but exactly.
I think it's not like an Aladdin or a Lion King or a Little Mermaid. But I think it's like a Hercules for me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like a pretty solid attempt.
Now, see, I obviously, no, huge amount of animation, love Disney stuff and that. But I went through that phase too, which is like, and I feel like that coincided with around the Mulan era, where it's like, I'm not watching these anymore, you know.
Atlantis.
That was the last one I saw in a cinema.
Oh, really?
Atlantis. Yeah, that's right.
Well, I've seen a lot of people say, especially on social media recently, there's a bunch of stuff that is ripe for a live action reimagination.
Emperor's New Groove.
That or Atlantis or Treasure Planet.
I fucking love Treasure
Planet.
That
middle sort of.
Yeah. You like Treasure Planet, right?
Yeah, it's good.
Thank God.
You've still haven't seen it.
I told you to watch Treasure Planet, Mason.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
Because it's you know, it's they're apparently very good, but also they don't have the, you know, the huge fan base that will
exactly
will turn it. But then they still have the property, so why not?
Well, speaking of one of the later ones, they are doing Lilo and Stitch, so yeah. I think they might be heading into that. But in terms of the last one, we already talked about Cruella, so we can just skip over that. It's pretty good, I guess. Right. It's better than you might think.
Yeah.
Or you might hate it, with I think a lot of these. I think there's going to be people who go through this list who are just like, I hate every single one of these, which I can also understand, honestly. Yeah,
it's all so much built around nostalgia.
Yeah.
And you're either going to love the fact that they're plundering the depths of your childhood, or you're going to fucking hate it.
Well, see, sometimes I'm about 50-50. Sometimes I'm like, oh, okay. Sometimes I'm like, oh, you're going to explain Han Solo's blaster and his vest and his name or whatever. But sometimes I'm like, oh, wow, you're explaining Han Solo's blaster and his vest and his name. I love it.
And it could just be how you feel on the day.
Yeah, exactly, you know?
I know, Mason, you have to duck off to work, so I'm just going to touch on quickly some things that are coming up, right?
Yes.
The sequels to Aladdin, The Lion King, The Jungle Book, and Cruella, as well as an untitled Prince Andor movie. Anders? The Billy Magnuson character from Aladdin.
Oh, that's right. Silly guy.
I love Billy Magnuson, so I'm all for that, quite frankly.
Yeah. Well, that was a character that wasn't in the original film. So that'll be interesting to see what they do with that.
And then we're going to get, they're filming this at the moment, but The Little Mermaid, you just go on Twitter, you just get a barrage of content and comments about that movie. I'm not, I never was really into it, so I don't, that's one I don't really care about.
Yeah.
Snow White, Hunchback, it's just called Hunchback apparently. It's Joker, but it's Hunchback, right?
Yeah.
Back.
Bambi?
Because it starts out straight. He starts with a straight back.
Oh, really?
Then he can explain it.
Regular back.
Bambi, I guess, Hercules?
Yeah.
Could be interesting.
Right.
Peter Pan and Wendy. There's been a lot of those lately, including, what's the one we saw that was terrible?
Pan.
Yeah, there's so many of them.
There was a mid-2000s Peter Pan remake live action, which I think is quite good. It's got Jason Isaacs as Hook.
That's right, yeah.
I remember it being good. I don't know whether it is. Pinocchio again. Mm. It's not called Pinocchio again, but. this one I think is interesting. The Sword in the Stone, I think, could be something because it's kind of vaguely remembered and it's Arthurian, but also it's King Arthur and they never do well.
It's going to be interesting.
This one, I'd be interested to know your thoughts. Mason.
Uh-oh.
Or Dave. No, Robin Hood is getting a remake, but the animal version.
Yeah. Another one.
So it's the fox version, the fox guy.
Yeah. I like the story of Robin Hood. I'm not huge on the original film, the animated one. That's like that period just after Walt died and they're really struggling.
It's
at the studio.
Aimless, isn't it?
Yeah. They don't, you can tell that people at the studio don't know how to make the movies the way Walt did, and it's just, so I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do with that.
It's up until like The Little Mermaid. It's like, do you guys like that The Rescuers?
Yeah.
No one does.
That 70s, like 20 years between his death and like the 90s, the late 80s.
Yeah.
It's just weird
odd
stuff.
Time period.
Yeah.
Here's a question though. I guess this could be for anybody, but for Dave specifically.
Yeah, sure.
Do you think
I can answer it, but I won't know the answer. It's an aimless, clueless answer.
Do you think we're going to get to the point where we're going to get into remaking like Pixar movies in live action, or like the more modern 3D Disney movies like Enchanted and not Enchanted, that is the live action, Frozen and Tangled and things like that. We're going to hit that at some point, do you think?
Going to have to.
Yeah.
I mean, there's only so like the rate that they're pumping them out, especially with Disney Plus. I mean, that the Lilo and Stitch one, the Pinocchio one, and the Peter Pan and Wendy, they're all going to Disney Plus.
Oh, okay,
so you're going to have a shitload of them going on Disney Plus, as well as the ones going to cinemas. They're going to hit a stage where you're going to have to go, fuck it, let's do Frozen.
Let's get Emma Watson. We're doing Frozen.
Yeah. I reckon they'll do live action Toy Story, like with a very old Tom Hanks, maybe as the dad or something. Yeah. Like,
I thought you meant as Woody.
Yeah. Oh, it's Woody.
Just out of breath.
Yeah, just. But just like, or maybe the granddad or something like that. They'll do a little bit of a twist of like, here's all the toys I had when I was a kid or something.
He's Geppetto in Pinocchio.
He
is that right?
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Wow. There's been a lot of those lately as well, I feel, over the last 10 years.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think like, a live action Frozen would make $1 billion.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
oh, absolutely.
That one's,
absolutely.
I mean, that franchise struck gold. Like, there's something about it that the kids love. Yeah. You know?
The only thing that surprised me about Frozen is it took that long to do the sequel. I thought they would have cranked it out a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
Now, I still think Tangled's better. And I think Moana's better than Tangled. And I think that, what was the last one? Raya is not as good as Tangled, but it's still pretty good.
Whoa.
Yeah.
What do you guys think of that?
Yeah, good list. I agree. Good. Yeah.
That's pretty much everything, though, I think, unless anyone has any comments about live action. What are they doing? What do you guys think?
Well, once again, it's not our money, except for the $8 a month. So I reckon they can do what they like.
Yeah.
Until, I mean, they have enough money currently.
Oh,
even if they make bad decisions every year until I die, they'll still be around.
Absolutely.
So it doesn't matter. In my opinion, it doesn't matter what they do.
Yeah.
Do whatever they want.
Look, I think, like I said at the beginning, I think they're fine. It's like the natural progression of storytelling.
Yeah.
You tell the same story through hundreds of years in different ways.
Exactly.
I see no problem with it. Bring it to the new generation. I mean, it's going to get to a point where kids, and I don't know if maybe even the new generations, won't watch the original animated films. I don't really know, but I feel like this is a way to keep them out there and keep the stories alive.
I mean, another way would be for Disney to let go of the copyright of...
Oh, yeah.
Don't do that. Don't do that, Mason.
All right, I'm just saying. I'm just saying, Disney. I'm just saying, you want some fresh new eyes on this stuff.
Yeah.
You know? It kind of is, and you could probably speak to this more. It's a bit of a shame in terms of what they're doing with 2D animation now, which is nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think there's any room for that coming back anytime soon?
I think if it does come back, what we'll see is they have this really terrific form of like hybrid animation, which is a hybrid with 2D and 3D. And they've dabbled with it in the past at this really fantastic short film called Paper Man. Early 2010s.
Yeah, yeah. No,
it's a gorgeous style of animation. Mm. And if it does come back, I feel like that's the way they're going to push. And we've seen them experimenting with it the last few years. I feel like we will see something soon.
Yeah.
But I think they might just be waiting for that right time.
Do you think it might be like an Into the Spider-Verse situation where you're taking even though that's not traditional animation, but there's a lot of like 2D
imagery. Well, that's the exact same technology,
Because I don't think you can't just go, here's a movie that looks like Aladdin.
Yeah.
Like it's not enough now, unfortunately, even though that's a beautiful looking film.
Yeah.
You can't put something out like that now.
No, exactly right.
Unless it's the sequel or straight to DVD or whatever. Yeah. The third one I think is pretty good, Prince of Thieves. Prince of Thieves?
Yeah.
King of Thieves.
King of Thieves. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I always do that too, yeah.
But look, if you love animation, which I know you do, Dave, then you should check out Dave's channel, Dave Lee Down Under.
Mm-hmm.
It's well worth doing. He does a cartoon evolution every month.
Yes.
Which kills him every time.
Kills me. I'm dead. I'm half dead at the moment.
He recently did the Rugrats because they've moved, speaking of moving into 3D, they've done that, which is a fascinating look through the history of... Well, it's Rugrats specifically, but it's like Nickelodeon focused as well.
I kind of dive
a lot of stuff that you talk about, I don't know.
Yeah.
And your research is like next to none. I know you've got a huge archive of like footage and also books that you buy, and they're just so thorough and well edited. And in addition to that, you do a lot of movie reviews. Like I said, you do your own podcast, which is on its own YouTube channel now.
Yes.
Which I don't think I mentioned this up top, but I do listen to it every week. And also, more often than not, I'll be like, shit, I should talk about that. And then because you mentioned things, you're like, okay, yeah, I haven't put that in, and then I'll put it in my show notes.
Yeah.
So it's awesome. It goes out on a Saturday on
Patreon. If you want to hear the primary source,
our
stuff
come
is just
straight to me.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. And I did an episode as well a few months back, but that comes out Monday normally as well, doesn't
it? Yes, it does. Yeah.
Which is well worth checking out. But would you like to stick around for the What We're Reading segment?
Absolutely.
He's going to do it, Mason.
You can't talk
about
it. All
right. I'll just sit and watch.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. Great.
All right. I'm going to play the theme song, and then I'm going to say Westworld. Don't worry about it. I'm just going to do it. It's just a thing that I have to do, isn't it, Mason?
He doesn't have to do it, but he does it.
You won't hear the theme. You'll just hear me say Westworld. Nah, that's the wrong theme. I've played the main theme to the show.
Wow.
I'm so sorry, everyone. Here we go. I'm doing the theme. Westworld.
That's when you know the theme song's nearly over.
This is the segment of the show where we talk about things we are watching or reading or going to watch or read.
That's right.
Does anybody have any things that they're watching or reading?
Well, Dave, you probably don't know this, but the other day James and Claire bought me a Switch for my birthday.
Oh, yes.
And I've been having fun with Zelda, Breath of the Wild.
Yes.
But I bought some other games because Breath of the Wild is like, it's quite involved for me at least. It takes a lot of time. So I'm like, I'll get some other stuff that might be a little quicker to get through. So I got the Ghostbusters game, the Ghostbusters remastered game,
which is the real Ghostbusters
3. The real Ghostbusters 3 is what people say. That's super fun that they got all the cards. I mean, again, this is me just like explaining stuff that everybody else got 5 to 7 years ago.
Yeah, right.
But
I think that might be like a 10-year-old game.
Yeah, it's
now.
Like 2000. It's the original came out in 2009.
Wow.
The remaster came out like fairly recently. It's really good. They got all the cast back somehow.
Mm-hmm.
It's good fun. It is. It does feel like the like a proper sequel.
Cool, okay.
It's really good if you've never gotten into it, which everybody probably has at this point.
Mm, yeah.
But and it's good, and they go to weird parallel dimensions. You fight the Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man again.
But he's dead.
No, they brought him back.
I think it was a ghost.
He's come back, yeah.
You try. It's like they sort of do a thing where it's like it's kind of the greatest hits at the start, so you catch Slimer and you fight the Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man and then et cetera.
Does like the ghost trap break or something and they all get out or whatever?
The ghost trap breaks and lets Slimer out.
Yep.
And then there's more.
And then there's a tutorial.
Yeah. And I also got a game called Void Bastards, which is
roguelike.
I'd not really heard of it before, but a couple of people mentioned it positively and I checked it out. And it's kind of like cel-shaded animation and it's like a first-person shooter kind of thing. And it's set in space and it's kind of a thing where you go to different, like, you know, a derelict spacecraft and you go in there and you shoot everybody and you go out. And you can do it in like, you know, it's like a five-minute level. So it's good to, it's good.
Is it
good
randomly generated?
I don't know.
Is dogs fighting out there?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm also getting into dogfighting. I set up a dogfighting ring, and that's what I've been doing this
beautiful.
Week.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
She's in here. She's all right. I just thought she might have been in a dogfight. I've
also been enjoying the Cadbury Crunchy.
Oh, yeah.
It's good. It's I prefer crunchy. A Violet Crumble, if I'm honest. But, Dave, we appreciate the box of favorites you brought.
A pleasure.
Regardless. You don't do a lot of video games, do you, because you are busy all the time?
I'm so busy. I love games. I'm not one that's, like, hugely into, like, the... You know, the ones you got to dedicate so much time to. I like the Marios or the,
totally.
You know, and that kind of stuff is like, I got a Switch earlier in the year, late last year. Mm. So every now and then I'll fire up the Mario 64.
I've been
playing through that. Oh, fuck, so good.
That's a tough game, man.
It is.
Like mechanically. Also, it's like, this is broken so a little bit.
Yeah, I remember how hard it was. I forgot how hard it was. Yeah.
Do you got the 3D All-Star collection?
Yeah.
Same. I've been doing Mario Galaxy every now and then, dip it in. Yeah. That's a fucking amazing game.
Yeah.
What have I been doing? I watched Guy Ritchie's new movie, Wrath of Man, with Jason Statham.
Mm.
What did he think of it?
Very good. He's done it again somehow.
I've done it.
I'm disappointed because his last one was something about drug dealing and Matthew McConaughey.
Oh, The Gentleman,
which I quite liked. And this felt like a early 2000s Jason Statham action film. And
it could have been directed by anybody.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of them on Netflix.
Yeah. That's what it felt. It was like it tried to be a bit twisty, but it wasn't very interesting. And it's fine. I preferred his Aladdin, if I'm honest.
Oh,
Guy Ritchie's Aladdin.
You picked Guy Ritchie and Aladdin.
What about you?
Two most recent things I've watched. I saw Fast 9.
Ah, yes.
Yeah. Have either of you
seen it? Yeah, I watched it yesterday.
What did you guys think?
We didn't like it.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
Yeah. I've watched the first two so many times over the years.
Yeah.
Loved it when I was a kid. And it's just every time I've gone to go, okay, I'm going to fucking watch all these movies, I watch the first two and then I give up.
So this
time I'm like, okay, I did some coverage for Fast 9.
I saw your interviews.
Yeah. I did some interviews for it. And I was like, shit, I have to watch them all now.
Yeah.
So my experience with the Fast saga has happened in the space of about a week.
Yeah, right. Wow.
By the time I've got to this new one, I'm still reeling and like, yeah, fuck, it's so
they
good.
Really evolved. There's a very steep evolution.
Absolutely. I enjoyed the new one, but again, it could be because I don't have that long and storied history with them.
Because we're currently working through them for Caravan of Garbage, the first three.
Yes.
And spoiler alert, we're doing Tokyo Drift this week. And I think that's one of the best.
Yeah.
It's just like a real odd duck. And it doesn't really kind of fit the rest of them, but it's like this little side story situation that I kind of enjoyed. But it ebbs and flows for me. Some are better than others. I think there is a drop in quality with the death of Paul Walker. And I don't know whether it's him specifically, but there is a...
Definitely
there's a shift in it, which I don't know. I didn't really like Hobbs and Shaw, to be honest.
I wasn't huge on it.
I think you've talked about that with your dad.
Yeah, I did speak about that on the podcast. Yeah. It's just such a weird film.
Yeah.
We also watched Luca. Have you seen that? That's the new Pixar one.
I don't know, yeah.
Yeah, really good.
Really good. I've heard like people criticize it for being too simple, but kind of like I think, why can't it be, though?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I haven't seen it, so maybe I wouldn't like it. But
there's, you know, they've done Journeys into the Mind and the Soul.
Yeah, exactly.
And All the Toys Are Alive. Why not just do a movie about people that are having a nice time?
Yeah.
That's or what whatever happens in that movie.
There are also fish monsters.
Oh, there's also fish monsters. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
That's what I liked about it. Just simple Pixar storytelling. Soul was like probably the most extravagant movie they've ever done.
Yeah.
Pare it down a little bit.
Well, I like Soul like a lot.
I loved it.
But I wouldn't show my kid that. I think Claire started to show him and he's like, what is this, like an existential crisis? What the fuck is, you know what I mean? It's like a man coming to terms
and
with
jazz.
Not. Yeah, yeah, but like, not realizing his true potential or whatever, that he's stuck in the afterlife and there's 2D ghosts coming after him or whatever. Yeah. And Luca's like a boy who's having little fun, adventures in Italy or whatever. So I think we're going to give that a go. And
it's
that's
good.
Free, isn't it?
That is a free one. Free, they've just dumped
$8
on
a month.
Yeah.
But, and I know that the people at who made it were a bit upset about that, weren't they?
People at Pixar. Spend 5 years on a film, it gets dumped on Disney Plus for free, whereas everything else is going to premier access.
Mm.
I guess they probably crunched the numbers and went, people aren't going to see this.
Yeah. Well, Soul did really well subscription-wise. So they probably, that's the leading theory, is like, they seen what Soul did, let's do it again with Luca.
They should have followed the Cruella route and just done a Toy Story prequel. It's just about sheets of plastic in a factory. That'd get on premier access, wouldn't it, Cruella?
There must be a formula that, and I'm sorry, Basie, because I know you need to go. There must be a formula of where they go, right, so people probably see on average, like people who aren't lunatics like us, they probably watch 3, maybe 4 movies a year.
Yeah.
But on Disney Plus, and we can lock them in, we can get, you know, $100 plus from them consistently forever if we get them to sign up for Soul or whatever.
Yeah.
So they clearly have figured it out. And during the pandemic still going, you know, they've obviously gone, this isn't a property that people know. It's not Toy Story 5.
Right. Yeah.
It's about a fish boy.
Yep.
So let's do that. Yeah. Anything else anyone's been bloody doing or whatever you're doing?
That's about it for me, yeah.
Cool.
All right, Dave. Well, thanks again for coming in.
No problem. Thank you for having
me. What are your social medias?
It's like Dave Lee Dununder. It's like Down Under without the
Oh, that's
vowels.
Not with an accent. Dununder.
It's Dave Lee Down Under. You'll find me.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. Awesome. Excellent. Again, I love your work. I watch,
thank
I think,
much.
Most of the things that you put out.
I appreciate it.
Unless it's where you ranked the live action movies of Disney, where I purposely didn't watch it because we were going to do this.
Beautiful.
But, no, thank you for coming in as well.
No problem.
Really,
thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, Dave.
Yeah. Oh, thank you so much.
All right, let's do the next segment of the show, Mason.
Okay.
But Dave Lee has to go.
See you later, guys.
He's got to go.
I'm off. I'm out of here. I'm getting kicked out.
That's right. We had you here for when you will not listen to our letters. They're our private letters for us.
Okay, I'll get out of here. I'll listen to it later. I'll sneak it in. See you later.
The classic one was letters, oh letters, we love you. Some letters, they're only a day away.
I know they're here right now. We're going to do letters. Just before we get started, James.
The letter segment really sneaks up, doesn't it? Go on.
Sure it does. Letter segment. It's on YouTube, obviously, the letters thing.
Yeah.
I get it every week.
What are we up to?
Three thumbs down.
What?
Three thumbs down.
Who's doing that?
652 thumbs up.
That's good.
I reckon we can get that up. We can get it up. But also 14,000 views.
Pretty good.
Pretty good for a letters theme, right?
Hey, great.
I'd say one of the most viewed letters themes on YouTube.
Probably Mr. Rogers has got one.
I don't know.
Second only to Mr. Rogers.
Mr. Rogers.
Doesn't he have a mailman? The mailman comes in, he's like, I've come to bring mail. And Mr. Rogers is like, fucking get in here, mate.
What he says?
Get in
here. Wow.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you want to get in contact with us, you can go to weeklyplanet@gmail.com.
That's
and get in here, we say.
Exactly.
We give you a big old Mr. Rogers, get in here. Get in here, you dog.
Come on, mate.
You dirty dog.
Just get in here.
Got on your mate.
Yeah, so if you don't want to register, hashtag weeklyplanetpod on Twitter, weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com. Did you already say that? It's neither here nor there.
It's neither here nor there. You got an email there? I do.
I got a tweet here. Nice. Hashtag weeklyplanetpod from Benson Maid, who says...
That's a great name.
When are you...
If my name was Benson Maid, I'd have a business.
What would it be?
I'd make things.
You probably would
have to. This is Benson Maid, baby.
You could even...
That would be my slogan.
You could also
this
say...
This is Benson Maid, you dogs.
You could say you made something.
You dirty dogs.
But you could say you made it, but you didn't.
Oh,
and
sneaky.
You're not technically lying because it's your name.
Yeah.
Is that 100% Australian beef McDonald's situation?
That's right, exactly right, yeah.
Which
it's
we may
made
have,
of sawdust.
Yeah, which we may have explained recently. So when are you two going to review Nobody with Bob Odenkirk? It's air in the UK.
He's bloody busy, isn't he?
It's true. You got him. It's on here in the UK and it's the funniest film I've seen since Red.
I haven't seen it yet.
Me neither. I think it's on streaming at the moment, isn't it? And also they just announced a sequel. I do want to see it. I just haven't. It came out when we couldn't see things maybe. I don't know. I can't remember.
Our instinct, I don't know if we say this in the pod, but our instinct is always to like review something when it's hot and fresh. But ultimately it doesn't really matter. Like, especially in the current times we live in. We can really review anything at any point. But
just something we're interested in.
Yeah.
But no, I am. Also, I think it had a, like he mentioned, it's out in the UK. had a, like its release was kind of staggered. So
Yeah.
Which is kind of also why we do a lot of temp-pole stuff, you know what I mean?
That's true.
Yeah, so that's where it's at. What have you got in terms of letter,
I'm
though?
Just looking right now.
I hope you have a good look, Mason. I hope you have a good bloody long, hard look at yourself.
I'm going to. It's going to be great.
Yeah, that's what I enjoy.
Yeah. This is from...
storage is full. I might... Google Drive. God damn it. Anyway, sorry, go on.
This is from Gold Star for Moss.
Wow.
His name's John, it says here.
Wow.
Hello, my name's John, and I've been a big fan of the Mr. Sunday Movies channel since about 2016, 2017.
Well, you're not an OG then, but I still appreciate it.
Since I was one of the many that thought Suicide Squad would be much better than what we got, and I loved all your videos on it. However, I only started listening to the podcast in 2019, and boy, am I glad I did. It's got me through some really tough times, and you introduced me to Auntie Donna. So not an OG listener, but, you know, still.
That's fine. That's all really good stuff. I was saying things in jest. I appreciate it.
I'm very serious. I was wondering if I could make a suggestion for the Caravan of Garbage. I'm not sure if you're aware, but the Chucky series comes out on Sci-Fi this fall.
I did know that,
I think it'd be cool if you did Caravan of Garbage for the franchise, or maybe the original followed by the 2019 reboot.
Yeah, where he's a... he's Alexa or whatever.
Oh, that's okay, right. Oh, it is too. Yeah. Thank you, John. Maybe we'll get to that. But again, we're like horror movie noobs.
Yeah.
We don't.
I was thinking of doing actually Scream this year.
Okay.
Because
there's you love Jamie Kennedy.
I'm a huge fan.
Have we got any flack from Jamie Kennedy for our Son of the Mask video?
Or Jamie Kennedy fans. I think he knows that movie's terrible.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah.
But he still hasn't done his next part of whatever, of the Son of the Mask. I want to know about his time in Australia. I want to hear his perspective.
Yeah, same, right?
Yeah, people...
We want to know. We just want to know what Americans think of Australia. We want to know where they went.
What do
Did
they
you go
think?
To Luna Park?
You could go to Luna Park. You could go to the Big Dipper. Do we have one of those?
You go to the Big Prawn.
You could check it out.
Jamie Kennedy, did you go to? We're calling you out, Jamie Kennedy. Mm. Did you go to the Big Prawn? Did you go to any of our big things? The Big Sheep.
Yep. The Big Worm.
Yeah.
It's on the way to Phillip Island.
That's right.
It's literally a worm.
Did you go to Pombo Mart?
What's that?
It's like a junk shop on the way from here to like Warrnambool.
Did you go to, what's that?
Pipe Pombo Works. Mart. Are you thinking of Pombo Mart?
Pipe Works.
Okay. Did you go to Caribbean Gardens?
Did you go to Chris and Murray's plant farm?
Did you go to National Tiles? Did you get some tiles for your LA mansion, which I assume you have?
Great stuff. So, no, we will see.
I think Chris and Murray broke up.
Yeah, they did. And then it was just one of them.
It's just Chris, yeah.
It was like Chris and his wife, maybe?
Maybe.
Yeah. Mm. Anyway, sorry, yeah, go on.
Let's have a look.
He's looking right now, everyone.
I am looking right now.
Where the boys and boys in town. I'm loving it.
Did you go to McDonald's, Jamie Kennedy,
Which
when
one?
You were in Australia? Which McDonald's did you go to? Did you go to the one in Jollymont that looks like a big, like a fancy Art Deco mansion?
That's true. Right, it does. Did you go to the one in Ballarat?
Yeah,
that's on Bakery Hill.
Did you go to one of our Hungry Jack's restaurants that looked like an old timey 1950s diner at the time? But they don't anymore. They just look like regular Hungry Jack's now.
Were you in there? And did you say to yourself, "This reminds me a lot of Burger King," and you'd be right. Because they couldn't name it Burger King in Australia due to legal reasons. They changed it to Hungry Jack's.
This is Chris.
Inexplicably.
Do you think there's a real Jack out there? It doesn't matter. This is from Christopher Zenger. It says, getting a heart transplant today.
Holy shit.
Hey, James and Mesa, I've been along for the ride since your affiliation with comicbookmovie.com. I've been sick the past few years with advanced heart failure, and I was only recently put on the list for transplant. It only took a month and a half to find a match, and now after getting the call, I'm just waiting till I have to go to the hospital. Just wanted to let you guys know you've been with me through some of the hardest time in my life. You never fail to make me forget about it and smile even for just a second.
Forget about it.
He says, you never fail to make me forget about it. So,
yeah. That's
good?
That's good, okay. Yes.
Took me a minute to pass it.
Yeah.
So thank you guys for all that you do and see you on the other side of transplant, not like ghosts. Can I be the official heart transplant recipient of the show? Yes, you can. Email back in. Let us know how that went.
Hells yeah. Email us back.
I mean, please do.
And congratulations.
I'm assuming it went fine.
Yeah, congratulations. That's really cool.
I mean, don't do it immediately.
No, like, obviously. You've probably got some other priorities.
If you're like, I'm feeling a bit of chest pain.
Yeah.
Feeling a bit of a hurty in the chest.
Just fire off an email. Then no, don't do that. Please, but take care of yourself. But no, that is... really exciting,
that's
genuinely.
Wild, yeah.
We're very... Oh, man, that's awesome.
Yeah.
How cool is that?
Good. It's very cool and good.
I've got another one here, Mason. Do you want me to do it?
Yes.
Okay, this is from Cameron Trimble, who says, you said you would get an Xbox depending on... it's not as accusatory as he's... Mate, that's my inflection. Mm. You said you would get an Xbox depending on if the game's released on it were better than the PS. What's your opinion on the Halo games and the Halo 6 multiplayer trailer? I've never been like a Halo man, but you've
never been Master Chief.
No, I haven't.
Protagonist of the Halo games.
And people are very divided on this new Halo. I think also some people are probably putting too many like too much hope in it. Like
okay, right.
the time for Halo to innovate has passed, I feel, at this point.
Yeah.
They need to do like a massive reinvention, like say maybe Doom did.
Sure, yeah.
Not to make it like that, but do you know what I mean? There's so many shooters now that have taken what was good about Halo and done their own thing.
Mm.
So, no, I don't think Halo would be the one to get me on board. What do you think?
I mean, the last Halo I played was like whatever was current on the 360 at the time, which might have been Halo 3.
Yeah, I remember you had a 360.
Yeah.
How was that?
It was okay.
Yeah, that's cool.
I like all the interesting guns. They were kind of cool. But again, I think they need to innovate. They need to.
Mm.
I don't know. It just doesn't.
It more
doesn't
Halos.
It doesn't jump. I think you maybe had to get in. You have to get into Halo at a certain point, maybe in your life.
Yeah, it was like because the way
formative time.
The like GoldenEye, you know, was.
Yeah.
You know, did a lot for multiplayer and whatever and. Split screen Halo was the same. It was like the next level of like multiplayer and like everybody I knew at the time played it, but I didn't have an Xbox. So I've never really played it.
Mm.
I don't know the maps. I don't know Cortana or Cortona. I don't know about that level when you think it's one thing and then there's an alien invasion or whatever. I don't know about any of that anymore.
Yeah,
I don't know about that big ring. Is there a big ring?
That's the Halo. That's the titular Halo.
I don't
Halo
know about it.
Oh my God.
But no, again though, if there was like a bunch of Xbox stuff that came out that's better, then yes, I would. Again, I'm waiting because it felt like again with this E3 that they were treading water because most of the games they revealed are like, and this is also last generation stuff.
Yeah,
so
sure.
We haven't. And there are a few exceptions, but we haven't yet seen like, and that's probably also because of COVID. But like the next iteration of stuff.
A lot of the Bethesda stuff was day one on Game Pass.
Okay, yeah.
Like so when. Like if you've got an Xbox and a Game Pass account, when it comes out, it's going to be free. Like so much of that stuff,
and that's cool.
This year was like that. So I mean, that's
and somebody wrote in also, and I can't remember when, maybe it was a tweet, and had the opinion that if you like, you may as well get a PlayStation because all of the Xbox stuff you can get on PC if you wanted to anyway.
Yeah, right.
And I have
a
PC, so you know.
Okay, here's some stuff. Here's some exclusives.
Wow,
Starfield.
Yep.
Stalker 2.
Yep.
Back 4 Blood. Which I think is kind of a Left 4 Dead kind of. Battlefield 2042. Psychonauts 2. Would you be interested in Psychonauts 2?
Yeah, maybe. I never played the first one, but it's interesting.
I mean, none of this. I mean, again, a lot of this.
Back 4 Blood's coming to PlayStation.
A lot of this is interesting and on Game Pass maybe, but I don't think I'd buy a whole new system for it. Halo Infinite, Diablo 2, like the remake of that. Flight Simulator.
I don't think a lot of these are. Not all of these are exclusives either.
Yeah, Forza Horizon 5 and Redfall. I probably none of those I would. None of those I would.
You wouldn't get out of bed for it, Mason?
No, I wouldn't. Yep, that's correct. What about this? Sea of Thieves, Pirates of the Caribbean expansion.
I did see that. And what? No, never.
Yeah, no, fair enough.
Stop trying to make pirate games. Nobody's buying them, mate. Yeah. They just keep having to run at different pirate
things.
They
sure do, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe I'll be wrong. Maybe they'll release one that's incredible. But I just don't think it's something that people are interested in.
Mm.
It seems.
That's right.
That's how it goes. You got any more? Because I'm done.
That's everybody, I think.
That's everybody who ever wrote us a letter. We finally got to the end
to the end
of mailbag.
Yeah.
So we're going to need some more letters for next week.
Please email in.
Or tweets, hashtag WeeklyPlanetPod, if you don't mind. Anything else?
If you dare.
What do you think? What do you think?
What do I think? I think it's the end of the show.
Yes.
It's traditionally where we end the show, I think, James.
Yes.
If we dare.
That's right. This is a good place to do it, though. So how would you wrap up the show?
I would say, folks, thank you so much for listening. Thank you for liking, subscribing, sharing, telling a friend, lying to a friend to get them to listen to the podcast. Thank you for sharing spum-related content. And thank you for leaving some nice reviews. James, you got a 5-star review there?
Got a couple right here. It really helps out the show. You can just do it in-app. This is from Jay Wegner, 1985. He says, if you even have a passing interest in comic book movies and don't already listen to this podcast, you should be hit with a brick.
Nice. Absolute minimum.
So that's a good one, and we appreciate it.
Yeah.
And there's other reviews there, and I've just they've disappeared from my list.
Mm-hmm.
But you can check it out if you want. can't you, Mason?
You absolutely can. That's right.
Yeah.
And folks, if you want to get into contact with us, you can go to weeklyplanetpod at Gmail, at Facebook, at Twitter, at Bandcamp. You can go to planetbroadcasting.com. You can sign up to the newsletter from the aforementioned great Rob Collings. He's at Rob Collings on Twitter. He's at The Weekly Planet on Twitter. On Twitter, I'm Wikipedia Brown. On Instagram, I'm Nick Maso, N-I-C-K-M-A-S-E-A-U. On Your Mr. Sunday Movies Ever.
I am.
Hashtag SPOM, S-P-U-M-M, all caps.
Do it under every Sony tweet.
Yeah, they'll love that.
Yeah.
It'll be great.
Mm. It'll be our Spider-Verse. Our Bat, Snyder-Verse.
Robert's Bat and Bat?
Snyder-Verse, I meant to say.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
If you want to support the show, you can go to patreon.com/MrSundayMovies. If you want to chuck in a buck, we'd appreciate that. You can also go to bigsandwich.co. You can sign up $9 US dues per month. You get all sorts of bonus podcasts. We're talking about comic books. We're talking about clickbait. We're talking about fun years in pop culture, all kinds of stuff, bonus stuff. Early videos, all kinds of things.
That's right.
Also, we've got some T-shirts on tpublic.com. You can search for The Weekly Planet. A friend of the show, Lucas, his T-shirts are back up. They were down briefly.
Oh, good.
But if you want an operating at 40% T-shirt.
Did we decide to lift the copyright ban?
That's exactly right.
Why did they go down?
It was not explained. I sent them an email. I'm like, if you think this is a copyright issue, it's not.
Yeah.
Please let them do that. I didn't get anything back, but they came back up. So
you're a hero.
I am a hero in many ways.
And I encouraged you in a lot of ways, didn't I? Gave you the confidence.
You didn't take my phone away. And I appreciate
it. I mean, I tried.
You did, it's true, but I had that machete. So thank you to The Brute and The Basilisk and Rackham for all our musical themes, including our letters theme. 14,000 views.
Going strong. Give it some thumbs up.
Or down. We don't mind. Neither
no.
one.
No.
Wow.
Thumbs up.
Whoa.
Yeah.
And that is the whole show. Next week, Fast and Furious 9. Is it good? No.
Look, it's not that it's not good. It's just that we didn't like it, and it's not very good. We'll talk about it next week. It's probably about as good as Hobbs and Shaw, which also wasn't good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not to give too much away.
I'm going to see it again.
Why?
I'm going to hit the cinema.
Okay.
I'm going to waste another 3 hours of my life.
Terrific.
Yeah. There was, here's just a fun little thing before we go. I was in the cinema, and I couldn't hear, but I think there were some people talking. They were up back behind me, and I heard a woman go, "Hey, can you be quiet to these people?" And I just wanted to be like, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Like, I know it's annoying, I get that, but it doesn't matter. There's nothing going on here.
Yeah. There were, in my cinema, there were just some teens, like, taking photos of the screen and then sending them to chat or whatever. Like,
yeah.
And I'm like, who cares?
Sending them to chat.
Yeah, to chat.
Who are they chatting with? What are teens up to?
TikTok?
If you're out there and you know what teens are up to, let us know.
Yeah, let us know.
Keep an eye on them.
If you're a teen, don't contact us. We don't want to know from you.
No. We want to know people, we're on the outside looking in. That's what we want. Mm. All right, we'll see you next week.
Grab that gem, you guys. We'll see you next week.
Goodbye. I put the end sting in. It goes, and then That's right. That's what it does.
Wow.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.